past several days, John MacArthur has been showing you his process for how to study God's Word and how you can follow it. And today he takes you from how to the why. Why study the Bible? Challenging stuff just ahead on today's Grace to You. Droves of books coming from a psychological standpoint that claim the ability to get you through the hardest times of life, the big conflicts and major disappointments, important people suddenly gone. But worldly thinking is still worldly thinking, and it always comes up short. And that's why today on Grace to You, John MacArthur explains the sufficiency of Scripture. You'll see how the Bible, the rock of truth, is truly able to meet all your needs. Now, this is a fitting follow-up to the series he just completed yesterday, How to Study the Bible. You know, while fads come and go through the secular culture and even the church, God's Word is always fresh, relevant, sufficient. John, you've staked your life on that concept.
Well, Jesus set that down, didn't he, in stone, when he said, not one jot or one tittle shall be removed from the law until all is fulfilled. And the prophet said, heaven and earth will pass away, but my word will never pass away. The word is the great unchanging reality. The revelation of God never changes. It won't change in eternity. That's why here at Grace to You, we're committed to feeding you the word of God. We don't want to give you some culturally cued message. We're not interested in talking to you about the things with which you're familiar in the society. We come to you with a word from outside this society, a word from outside this world, a word unfiltered through the minds of men and the culture. We come endeavoring to give you the pure, unadulterated, unfiltered Word of God. And that's one reason why this radio ministry goes so far around the world and people respond in all countries across the world where the Word of God is heard. And the tapes and CDs and the books go. And the books, by the way, are translated now into something like 40 languages because we're dealing with timeless truth that is not bound. Now we come to the end of a year. We need your help to sustain this ministry. It's important for us to hear from you at the end of the year when we receive 20% of our whole year's budget. If you're benefiting and able to help, we'd ask you to consider investing in our outreach just as we've invested in you. Your year-end gift will be a welcome blessing to us and to all those who benefit from the ministry. Do whatever you can. You can be confident your gift will be used to bring the Word of God to spiritually hungry men and women across this world.
To express your support, go to gty.org or call toll-free 1-800-55-GRACE. And I'll give you our mailing address after today's message. Now let's turn to Psalm 19, where John MacArthur begins his look at the sufficiency of Scripture.
As is my habit from time to time, I enjoy reading the Puritans, and I'll pull a book of the Puritans off my shelf and sit back in my chair in my study and read. And I was reading Thomas Watson's great section on Scripture, and he had one statement that I thought was fitting for us. He said this, quote, "The devil and his agents have been blowing at Scripture light, but could never blow it out. A clear sign that it was lighted by heaven," end quote. It's my conviction that a very unlikely group of people seem to be blowing today at Scripture light, trying to blow it out. And what is amazing about it is that the attack that I am most concerned about on the Word of God seems to be coming not from those who deny it to be the Word of God, but from those who would affirm it to be so. It seems to me that one of the most subtle and dangerous threats facing the Word of God is coming from within the category of evangelical Christianity. By people who claim to believe the Bible to be the Word of God, but betray a lack of trust in its sufficiency, and therein speak evil of the Word of God. And it has forced me to ask the question, is the Bible really sufficient for matters of spiritual life? Is it sufficient for the people of God and all of the necessary resources for the fullness of living in the will of God? Or do we need to concede that the Bible has some rather glaring limitations that can only be overcome by wisdom and technique developed by well-meaning people who want to help God out a little bit? Now, to answer the question of scriptural sufficiency, I want you to look with me at Psalm 19, what I believe to be the most concise and direct treatment of the sufficiency of Scripture in all of the Word of God. Now, Psalm 19, by way of a general introduction, is intended to convey to us the significance of God's revelation. First of all, in verses 1 through 6, we read of God's revelation in nature, but there is even a more specific revelation in His Word, and to that the psalmist turns in verse 7. And in the second half of the psalm, from 7 through 14, the focus is on special revelation, the revelation of God in Holy Scripture. To that we want to look. Now, to begin with, let's notice the sufficiency of Scripture, verses 7 through 9. Follow them as I read. The law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. The statutes of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart. The commandment of the Lord is clear, enlightening the eyes. The fear of the Lord is clean, enduring forever. The judgments of the Lord are true and righteous altogether. Now, I want you to note for a moment the structure of those three verses. There are six lines of thought, and each of those six lines has three elements. It has a title for the Word of God, a characteristic of the Word of God, and a benefit of the Word of God. The titles are, the Scripture is called the law, testimony, statute, commandment, fear, and judgment. All of those are synonyms for the Scripture. Its characteristics are, it is perfect, sure, right, clear, clean, and true. Its six benefits are, it converts the soul, it makes wise the simple, it rejoices the heart, it enlightens the eyes, it endures forever, and it is altogether righteous. That is, it provides full spiritual resources. Now, let's look at these six. Number one, in verse 7, the law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul. Now, the first title for Scripture is the law. And that gives us an emphasis of the Word of God. The word is Torah. It basically means biblical or divine teaching. It points to the teaching or the didactic nature of Scripture. It is God instructing man. The term refers to instruction. It identifies the Scripture as doctrine dispensed from God to man. It has in view divine instruction relative to creed, that is what we believe, relative to character, that is what we are, and relative to conduct, that is what we do. It is a complete explanation of God's instruction for man's life. It is teaching from God for life. Now, this teaching, which comes through the pages of Holy Scripture, it says in verse 7, is perfect. It is perfect. One Old Testament scholar says that the fullness of the meaning is to say that it means all-sided so as to cover completely all aspects of a thing. It is a word of comprehensiveness. It is to say, then, that the Scripture covers everything. It lacks nothing. It lacks nothing. It is a comprehensive source of teaching from God, which therefore embodies all that is necessary to the spiritual life of God's people. Now, the particular focus of verse 7's initial statement is that its perfection is related to converting the soul. And there we find the first of the six benefits. It converts the soul. The Hebrew term for converting can mean reviving, restoring, refreshing, converting, but my favorite synonym is transforming. It has the idea that Scripture is sufficient then for conversion, for transformation, for restoration, for spiritual birth and growth to perfection for the whole person. It is reminiscent, really, of Paul's letter to Timothy, 2 Timothy 3:15 to 17, where Paul reminds Timothy that the Scripture is able to make you wise unto salvation, not only that, to make you perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. The Word of God, then, has the power of total transformation. It is so comprehensive that it can mold a soul, a living person, into precisely what God desires that person to be. And that begins at conversion. The Word is sufficient to convert the soul. Secondly, the psalmist says, the testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. And he takes another step in building this tremendous, magnificent presentation of scriptural sufficiency. He uses the word testimony, which looks at God's word not as divine instruction, but as divine witness. It is God giving testimony to who he is and what he requires. So as you look at the testimony of God to himself, in the Word of God, you find that His testimony is, says the psalmist, sure. It is sure. Again, in contrast to the unsure, insecure, wavering, changing, shifting, unreliable, untrustworthy notions of men, the Word of the living God is sure, and the Word means unwavering, immovable, unmistakable, worthy to be trusted, and reliable. The Word then provides a foundation on which life and eternal destiny can be built without hesitation. I'm reminded of what Peter said in 2 Peter chapter 1. He was rehearsing his personal encounter with the majesty of Christ at the transfiguration. And he said, I was there when he was transfigured. I saw his majestic glory in that marvelous scene when the heroes of the Old Testament appeared. And we were there on the mountain in the wonder of supernatural glory. And I say this to you in verse 19, there is a more sure word than this. Experience, supernatural experience, signs and wonders have their place, Peter says. There is a more sure word than this, and that word is the Scripture given as holy men were moved by the Spirit of God. The Scripture is the more sure word. In contrast to the unsure reasonings, musings, and opinions of men about God and morality, we can stand on the Scripture. And what is its benefit? Notice again, its benefit is making wise the simple. The root of the Hebrew word for simple is the idea of an open door. A simple person is a person who's undiscerning. They don't know when to shut the door. They don't know what to close out. Everything comes in. They're not discerning. They're unlearned, inexperienced, ignorant, and naive. But they can be made wise. And what is the source of that? The Word of God. Scripture takes the naive, unexperienced, undiscerning, uninformed, and brings to that individual wisdom. I love the word wise. It is a rich Hebrew word. It basically means to be skilled in the art of godly living, to be skilled in the matters of practical living. It is to master the art of daily living, accomplished by the knowledge and application of the Word of God. It is sufficient to transform the soul. It is sufficient to bring about consummate wisdom in the matter of daily living to the glory of God. Thirdly, would you notice verse 8 of Psalm 19? The statutes of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart. Where does a believer go to find joy? Where does a believer go to find relief, happiness, deliverance from sorrow, anxiety, and depression? Where does a believer go? Where is the resource? The testimony of the psalmist is it's the Word. It is the Word that rejoices the heart. The term here for Scripture is the word statute. It means not divine teaching, and yet in a sense it embodies divine teaching. It has the idea of not divine witness specifically, though it embodies that, but more the idea of divine principles. divine precepts, divine guidelines. The scripture is full of guidelines for living from God. Now notice that they are, it says in verse 8, they are right. That is to say, they show the true path. They give you right guidance. They guide you in the proper way to true understanding. What a wonderful thing that is. I mean, for those of us who've been Christians for a long time, to try to think back to how it was when you had to chart your own course with no knowledge of what to do. What a legacy we have in the Word of God laying out a true path. We are not left without a chart and a compass. We are not left without principles for life. We are not left to wander around in a fog of human opinion. We have a true word to follow. And the result of that is we walk a right path that rejoices the heart. I believe true joy comes from following the Word of God, from applying its principles, from walking in its precepts and pathway. The Scripture is perfect enough to convert the soul, wise enough to make the simple profound, and able to make the sad joyful. Fourthly, you will notice at the end of verse 8, the commandment of the Lord is clear. The best translation is clear, enlightening the eyes. And he uses here the word commandment. Now, commandment is another way to look at Scripture. Yes, Scripture is precepts. Yes, it's instruction. Yes, it's testimony. But it is also divine decrees. And here we find the emphasis on authority, on the non-optional character of Scripture. The Bible is not full of a lot of suggestions. It is commandments, binding, authoritative commandments. This is what God requires. And for those who respond, there is blessing. For those who do not, there is judgment. And the Word of God, which comes to us as commandment from God, he says, is clear. That is to say, it's lucid. It's not mystifying. It's not confusing and puzzling. Oh, yes, there are obscure elements of it. But the Word of God in general, as read, is clear. It's easy to see. It gives clear direction for life. The Old Testament says, a wayfaring man, though he be a fool, need not err. It enlightens the darkness. When there is darkness in the world and you can't understand what's going on and you don't know why things are happening the way they are, the Word of God makes things clear. In contrast to the muddled, muddy musings of men who themselves are blind. To be able to see truth in this dark world, struggling to know what truth is, to be able to understand what is right and wrong, to be able to understand and be comforted in times when we can't comprehend what's happening, times like Job endured, all the knowledge of things not readily seen is revealed in the Word of God to the degree that our eyes can be sufficiently enlightened. What a wonderful truth. The Word of God is all the revelation we need. It is clear. It is easy to understand. It leaves no doubt as to necessary truth. Proverbs 6:23 says, the commandment is a lamp and teaching is light. It is also, fifthly, verse 9, clean, enduring forever. And here he uses the term fear as a synonym for Holy Scripture. Why does he do that? Because the Holy Scripture intends to convey fear, or the awesomeness of God, to bring about a reverential awe, to draw us to worship. It is used in the sense of what it seeks to produce. The Scripture intends to produce fear or awe or respect or worship to God, and so it is said to be the fear of the Lord. And since the habit of the human soul is to worship, the Scripture then instructs us who we are to worship and how we are to worship. And this Scripture, which instructs us in the worship of God, he says, is clean. Marvelous thought. The word tahor is the root word. The word means the absence of impurity, the absence of filthiness, the absence of defilement, the absence of imperfection. That is to be unsullied with sin, without evil, without corruption, without error. This again, in contrast to the evil imaginations of men, the Word of God is clean. There's not a taint of evil in it. You can go to it and know that what it says is absolutely pure. The truth it conveys has no taint of evil in it. The testimony of the psalmist in Psalm 12, verse 6 is a marvelous one. The words of the Lord, he says, are pure words, like silver, purified seven times in an earthen furnace. The word is so pure, hallowed, holy, separate from sin. Now, that's in contrast to the words of men. You can't always trust them. You can the word of God. And consequently, you'll notice it endures forever. That is to say, you can follow it always. It's trustworthy all the time. Listen, the word is sufficient for cleansing. It's sufficient for purifying the life. It is eternally relevant. It is all that is necessary for the cleansing of the soul. We do not need practitioners. We need the word of God. And lastly, and so importantly, he says in verse 9, the word called here the judgments or the ordinances of the Lord are true. And as a result, they are altogether righteous. The word ordinances means divine verdicts. So we have divine instruction, the law of the Lord, divine witness, the testimony of the Lord, divine principles, the statutes of the Lord. We have divine decrees in the commandments. We have divine worship in the fear of the Lord. And now we have divine verdicts from the bench of the judge of all the earth. The Bible is God's judicial determination for the life of man and eternal destiny from the eternally supreme judge. And he says his word is true. Oh, what a statement. Do you know how hard it is for people in our society or in any part of the planet Earth to find truth? Do you know what a battle it is to discover truth? And we have the word that is true. The word of the Lord is true. It's always true. Therefore, it's always dependable, always relevant, always applicable. In contrast to the lies of men who are victims of their father, the lying devil himself, it is always true. Listen, beloved, if the word of God is sufficient for salvation, if it is sufficient to perfectly transform the soul of a person, if it is sufficient for all the skills of spiritual living, if it is sufficient to bring full joy to overcome the sorrows and struggles of life, if it is sufficient to bring understanding to the dark things hard to see, if it is sufficient to purify all sin, and if in all of this it's always true, then it's got to be the source of everything in spiritual living. And it is so trustworthy. The fact is that God, in a scripture that we hold in our hands, has given us a relatively perfect expression of His eternal will to establish all the necessary truth for spiritual life and duty. And I believe that with all my heart because that's the testimony of God Himself. And that word in the life of an individual, energized by the Spirit of God, brings about consummate sufficiency. To believe anything less is to strike a blow against the integrity of the living God. Now notice the result of the truthfulness of Scripture in verse 9 is that it is altogether righteous. That is, it is totally right. And the idea of that phrase is to talk of its comprehensiveness. It is altogether righteous. There are no errors in it, yes. But more than that, it is a complete, comprehensive, sufficient source of truth. That is why the Scripture says things like this. Deuteronomy 4:2, you shall not add unto the word which I command you, neither shall you diminish anything from it, that you may keep the commandments of the Lord your God which I command you. You better not add anything, you better not take anything away. Why? This is altogether comprehensive. This is complete. It says in Revelation 22:18 and 19, if you add anything to it, it'll be added to you the plagues that are written in it. Don't add anything, don't take anything away. The word of God is sufficient. Now that, beloved, is a running, gasping effort to capture in a brief period of time the magnitude of those three verses. They present the sufficiency of Scripture. I really believe that we're seeing sad things happen in the evangelical church today. People are leaving the Word of God while affirming its truthfulness and chasing after all other kinds of things. Because they have the feeling that the word can't meet their need, and that is a lie of the devil that has arisen because they've never really lived a biblical life. And they've never really been noble like the Bereans who daily search the scriptures. And they've never allowed, as Paul said to the Colossians, the word of Christ to dwell in them richly. They've treated it in a cursory way and never enjoyed the power of its depths. And oh, how in this day we ought to call the church of Christ back to a preoccupation that consumes them with the living word of God. And let our message not be the message of the Bible plus the world, but let it be the message of the sufficiency of the Word of God alone.
Clarity, the power, the sufficiency of God's Word. That's what John MacArthur's been helping you trust and apply to your life in the message called The Sufficiency of Scripture. You're listening to Grace to You. Well, with Christmas fast approaching, let me pass along a gift suggestion, the MacArthur Study Bible. It's our top-selling Christmas gift and will serve you or your loved ones for a lifetime. The MacArthur Daily Bible and the devotional book Strength for Today are also great gift ideas, making a significant gift for anyone that's seeking meaning or a consistent study time. To order, contact us today. To ensure pre-Christmas delivery, please order by our toll-free number, running right now or anytime, even over the weekend. Call 1-800-55-GRACE. Again, that's 1-800-55-GRACE. You can also order online at gty.org. The hardcover MacArthur Study Bible is available for $35. The top grain leather version is $65. You can choose black or burgundy finish. There's also a large print edition for $60 in leather or $45 in hardcover. And the MacArthur Daily Bible is available for $16. And the devotional book, Strength for Today, is $15.50. Rush shipping is included free. Now, this important note, to have your items in time for Christmas gift giving and still take advantage of the free rush shipping option, you need to place your order by the close of business next Monday, December 12th. So call now or go to gty.org. The phone number is 1-800-55-GRACE. Again, if you affirm John's verse-by-verse teaching and this Bible teaching ministry, send your tax-deductible gift, your year-end gift in support. Our address is Box 4000, Panorama City, California, 91412. Or call us at 1-800-55-GRACE. And now on behalf of John MacArthur and the staff, please have a great weekend and join us for another half hour of Unleashing God's Truth, one verse at a time, on Monday's Grace to You. John MacArthur has preached a lot of Christmas sermons in his 36 years of ministry. Be here for some of the messages that listeners have cherished the most. That's starting Monday on Grace to You.